My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, what you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our Patreon. If you want to hear the full thing, please go to flagshippatreon.com and subscribe to either our $5 or $10 tier. A subscription to the $5 tier gives you access to most of our bonus audio, including Flagship Plus, The Overrun, as well as retro content like Jovember to Remember, our retro audio documentaries, as well as exclusive breaking news reports. You can upgrade to the $10 tier and unlock all of our bonus content, including written columns and reviews, as well as live shows like Instant Reaction Live and the Flagship Live, as well as all of the other benefits available on the $5 tier. Once again, that's flagshippatreon.com. And now to the free preview of one of our exclusive episodes.
I can tell you right now that the WWE hardcores disagree with you, Rich. This is at a 9.08 on the old cage match for Backlash God. France.
Come on.
Isn't that absurd?
That's like, absurd. I mean, come on. What are we? Come this on. Have a, some objectivity. Like, this is. The thing was, the crowd helped the show a lot. Where we had, and we talk about this all the time when we review these WWE pay per views, that a lot of times you have these current American WWE crowds that love the entrances, love the catchphrases, love all that sort of stuff. Then the bell rings, and then it's silence. This didn't have that. This had a crowd that was still making noise throughout the matches, was doing chants, was singing along or whatever. At times, they were just kind of singing to sing. You know, I mean, they weren't really reacting to the match that was happening in front of them. Other times, they were, you know, reacting to the match and doing booyah, booyah, and you know, just depend. Like they were all in, and they all kind of. But the one thing I was going to say about that is, while the crowd was more energetic, and that obviously helped, and it helped the show feel like it was, you know, not a complete slog. The work in that middle portion, like you're saying, it didn't rise to the occasion of the crowd. It's like last year's Backlash show was in Puerto Rico, and we talked about that show. I love that show. I thought that was a really, really good WWE pay-per-view because it had an insanely good crowd, and the wrestlers felt like they worked off the crowd. They fed off that crowd, and you had a show that genuinely felt hot as hell with wrestlers that were like, oh man, this is incredible to be in front of this crowd or whatever. And this, you had a very good, very energetic crowd, but everybody just kind of did the same thing that they were going to do. Damian Priest and Jey Uso just did the same match they were going to do, whether the crowd was hot, bored, doing nothing, saying nothing, cheering, chanting. It didn't matter. They were just going to have their match. Bayley, Naomi, and Tiffany Stratton, same thing. They just had their match. And we'll talk about the women's tag match in a bit. That very clearly had a template, very clearly had a structure. And then Cody and AJ are two great wrestlers, so of course they would go out there and have a great match. And the opener, too. Those guys did, you know, the easiest trope that you can do, the easiest, you know, way that you can get over in WWE is you just do a street fight where you just brawl in the crowd and you go through tables and that sort of stuff. And that's going to work every single time for every single one of their audiences. That's going to work. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't call it a good show if like Cody and AJ and the opener was the only thing I thought was good. But for people watching, maybe they enjoyed it because the crowd was hot. But I didn't think the work in the middle portion met where the crowd was. The crowd was at a fever pitch the entire time, and the work was just paint by numbers, generic stuff from all three of those matches.
Well, I want to say something about the crowd. You brought up the Puerto Rico show. That was a red hot, super hot crowd, and they were a great crowd. This crowd, I hate to shit on people that were just having a good time and, by the way, paid an exorbitant amount of money for these tickets. This highest gate in the history of an arena show for the company, and it only drew like 12,000 fans. I saw some people like Dave Meltzer and Brandon Thurston doing the math that comes out to about $300 per ticket. I guess you can, you know, bilk these fans for that kind of money when you haven't been there in a long time and you've never been there for a pay-per-view. So I guess that's good business if you can do it. But yeah, these people were having a great time, and I really don't want to knock people who were having a good time. It seemed like they had the time of their life and are probably going to remember this for a long time as wrestling fans. But this crowd started to annoy me about halfway through the show. Okay. When the show started, I thought the crowd was, were just increasing and helping the vibes in a palpable and exciting way. And I thought they lifted up the opener, which really was just a standard issue, walk and brawl kind of plunder match.
Yeah. You've seen that match a thousand times. You have seen that exact match a thousand times.
Nothing wrong with it, but at the same time, nothing really special about it. But because the crowd was so hot for it and because the angle with Tangaloa came off so well, I thought that lifted it. And I thought by the end of it, I was like, okay, I enjoyed that match. And I thought the crowd lifted a lot of the stuff early, but it became apparent by about halfway through this show that I just became annoyed by this crowd because they weren't a typical hot wrestling crowd. They were just there to sing songs and chant and sing the entrance themes. And they were starting to get under my skin. I don't know. Maybe I'm just grumpy. Maybe I'm just pissing in people's cornflakes here, but that Puerto Rico crowd, okay, that was a hot wrestling crowd. And they were a wrestling crowd.
Yeah, they were reacting to what was happening in the
spots.
What was the one they did? It was like, Bad Bunny did like the Carlos Colon. What was he doing? The figure four, right? The homages to Carlos Colon. And they were going nuts for every single one of those. And not like, not in the way that they were like, oh, that's our time to sing a song. It was like, oh, that's Carlos Colon. You know what I mean? So it was a wrestling crowd, like you said, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
This was a footy crowd. This is a footy crowd watching a wrestling crowd show.
This was a footy crowd entertaining themselves, which you often have to do during soccer games. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to go down that. But no, but seriously, it's not a sport with a ton of action. You have to entertain yourself. I mean, even people who like it will tell you that. That's what this was, though. And, you know, the chanting and, you know, they were there to sing all the entrance themes. And that's another thing. It's like modern wrestling fans, we've talked about this before, they just love singing entrance themes. You know, that came off unique when it was Minoru Suzuki. It came off unique when it was Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT. It came off unique when it was Chris Jericho with Judas. But now, especially in this company with the WWE fans, I mean, you know, any song that has a certain rhythm or beat, like they're singing along with the songs. And now it's just starting to get under my skin. It's not organic. It doesn't feel special anymore because it's not limited. It's just everybody that they do this for, except the really terrible new songs that they have. I wasn't aware AJ Styles has a new entrance theme.
I didn't know that either. Okay. When did that happen? I know people are going to be like, it happened 4 months ago, you idiots. I don't know why, though, because like, I don't remember it. Like, he came out and I was just like, because it was like, you don't want none. Was like, because every Def Rebel song has like a whatever, like the guy's tagline is, it has to say it first.
Damage control, baby. And then the song,
exactly.
It's like nails on a fucking chalkboard.
What was David Priest has one too? It's just like, rise or something.
It's terrible. It's like a gavel and an all rise.
Right. So AJ Styles' one was like, you don't want none. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. Yeah. I was like, that's a little on the nose because the song says you don't want none a thousand times. You don't really need that. And then all of a sudden he comes out to some other random song. And I was like, man, when the fuck did that happen? I guess I just, it didn't click with me that had changed. So I don't know.
Well, the hardcore WWE freakazoids are going to be all over. I guess it's because they changed the people doing the music.
Yeah, it's not CFOs anymore. So they've started to cycle through all the CFO songs. They don't want to pay them any more royalties. So
right. So I think that's why you're seeing some of these just Def Rebel that everyone complains about.
Yeah.
That, you know, I couldn't give a shit about any of this, honestly. But yeah, no, there's this. They love singing theme songs now, and to me, the crowd started off great. And by the end of the show, I found the crowd very annoying and off-putting because they no longer were a wrestling crowd. They were just there to look. They were having a good. It's why it's a tricky line to walk because they're having a good time.
Right.
But they weren't. It wasn't a wrestling crowd. It was a crowd there getting themselves over, putting them, having, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to articulate.
Particularly in the main event. But, like, because the main event, like, I thought there were certain points in the Priest-Uso where they were very much like, we're chanting for Uso and we love Uso and we're going to boo Priest. So anytime Priest did anything, it was boo. Anytime Uso did something, it was yay or whatever. And then the Bayley, you know, they were doing the Bayley song, but that still felt like they were kind of rooting for Bayley or whatever. In the main event, it was just literally like, we're going to do our little phenomenal song. And I don't even care to explain what the hell that was. Corey Graves tried to. But it was like, okay, now you guys aren't even like booing or cheering for any particular,
you're not paying attention
anymore. You're just singing this phenomenal song every 4 minutes because it's now time to do the phenomenal song thing again. And it's like, what are we doing here?
It was similar, but for different reasons than what the Raw after WrestleMania crowds used to be, where those people would go into business for themselves because they didn't like the Raw show that they were seeing. So they would just do their own thing and go into business for themselves. This crowd liked what they were seeing and enjoyed being there, but were still going into business for themselves just and not reacting to the matches anymore. I guess the best way I can put this for you would be, what would you want moving forward for every pay-per-view? Would you want this crowd or would you want the Puerto Rico crowd? It's not even a, I mean, come on. It's a rhetorical question. I mean, anyone who doesn't pick the Puerto Rico crowd needs their head examined. That's a hot pro wrestling crowd. This is people who have been starving for a big pro wrestling show, getting one, and then basically it's just a party atmosphere. Is that a good way to put it? It was like a party atmosphere.
Yeah, it was a party, and wrestling was, or like I said, it was a football game, and you know, wrestling was happening instead of footy, and that's what they just reacted to similarly.
You could have given them, I didn't think this show was a giant pile of shit, but you could have given these people a giant pile of shit, and they would have ate it up. They were there just to party and have a good time. And but there were some matches that challenged their good time.
Oh,
I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the crowd kind of annoyed me halfway through. I know that's what everybody's going to be talking about. But from that standpoint, started off great. By the end of the show, I didn't think the crowd was so great. But you want to start at the top or do you want to start at the main event?
Let's do the main event. Let's do the main event.
All right. So Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles, and we all knew this.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.